Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the weekend podcast. It's episode 546. And I'm joined by Peter and Stephen.
Hello.
Stephen.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend. I've never heard that before. Am I sounding quite loud to you? And to do it on a test here. One, two. Oh, seems all right, actually. I was just checking there. All right, guys. Well, listen, we started our experiment. Did we mention it last week on the podcast? I forget. You know, a week is a long time in stocks, isn't it?
We talked about it. Yes.
And then we... so I picked...
Should I run through the rules again?
The rules are, 50 trades. So £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less. Hopefully... achieving 10% or more on each trade. So it's doable, you know. And if you achieve more than 10%, then obviously there'll be less trades. But anyway, if we do 10%, it'll be about 49 trades to get to 106,000. Now, we have picked our first stock. It happened in the week. I said, are you ready to get in, guys? And on the WhatsApp, their little group. And Pete got back, yep. So Steve, nothing. Are you ready to get in, Steve? Nothing. Steve, where are you? Steve.
Steve.
Dave?
Some of us have to actually work for a living, you know.
Oh,
who's that then? Who's that?
Yeah,
me.
Okay. So anyway,
you've
got
lost all
end.
Your money on shares.
So we picked the stock, and originally when you were in there, Steve, I said, right, EasyJet, EZ, you know, had a massive fall off of Brexit, and we're talking about going from 15, 16 quid down to like sub £10. At one point, and it bounced a little bit. I thought, I don't know if this is a support level there yet. I don't know, really. In too early. All that stuff said about waiting for it to get into a trend, I didn't do. I just said, right, place a limit order at £10. And it was like about £10.05. It rallied to £10.20 something that day. And I pulled out. I said, hang on a second. We got to play it. Steve's not here. What's going on? It's not in a trend. Let's stop it. Let's cancel it. And I said, oh, let's go for it. Put a limit order at £9.99. And so it filled my order at £9.99. And then Steve came on board. He said, all right, what are we doing? How many shares are you buying? So he jumped on board. So then it went up, didn't it? It took my order and it started climbing. And Peter got a bit worried, but Steve put his limit order in at £9.99. He stuck there.
Stuck to it.
And Peter, no, listen, let's just get in. He lost his patience, didn't you,
no,
Peter?
I didn't.
Yes, that's you did.
No, that was you.
F-O-M-O.
This is not...
In fear of missing out.
This is not an accurate representation, Your Honour.
Well, hang on a sec. What price did you get your EasyJet shares at, Steve?
£9.99.
And me? £9.99. Just a look at that, a bargain, a penny under £10. £9.99. Get your EasyJet shares. Come on, £9.99. In the sale right now. Now, Peter, what price did you get your EasyJet shares at?
I like a rounder number, so I went for £10.
You were ripped off by a penny there. Oh, they saw you coming.
Okay. It's cost me £1 more to buy our 100 shares.
They saw this guy go, here's a guy, he's put a limit order in, and he's pulled it out now, and he's put it back in, he's desperate. But to be honest, though, since that trade, it hasn't been going badly. We're recording this on Friday, markets are still open, and as I'm looking, EasyJet shares are now up to 148. So I bought them a nine. So I'm 49 pence up, and Steve, you're 47 pence up, Pete.
Yes.
So our target,
as I said, it will probably peak at like at 10.99 or something, and it won't quite get to 11 pennies. But there we are, and then it'll fall away, and you'll have sold at 10% up, and I'll be still waiting. But there we are.
Yeah. So our target is obviously just over with fees and something, it'd be a bit over 11 quid now. It's had a little rally previously off the bounce from Brexit, and it went up to 1180 odd. So that would be nice if it gets up there. I'm thinking, though, it may not get there. It may get to 1150, hopefully. I don't know. I'm looking at and I'll ask a technical analyst. Maybe they can help me here. But it may even go past that. You never know, you know? If the fears of Brexit are overdone, then who knows? But what I do think, I don't think we can... I don't think we're going any lower than we've seen, you know. So lowest went down to was like 970, I think. So not far off picking up 973 there.
Yeah.
So 972. So not far off, you know, picking the bottom there, guys. And
now, the thing that I raised in the week on that there WhatsApp group was obviously, are we putting a stop loss to actually, you know, limit our losses? So on any of these stocks, we're buying obviously and then hoping to see it rise, but are we at the same time also putting a stop loss in just to stop any crazy spike down that then loses us loads of money? And explain to me the answer to that, the whole risk reward thing.
Yeah, so risk reward, listen, essentially, you know, one risk equals two rewards. So one down equals two up. So that's the way you should play it, in a reward ratio. And that way you can make three trades, can't you? Two winners, one, and you can break even. So, but you know, so you've got more chances. So what I'm saying is, if you put £1,000 down.
You're explaining it brilliantly.
Yeah. Well, that's the risk reward ratio.
But
you want two up for one down. Yes. What I'm saying is this. So we put £1,000 down, all right? And we're going to put a 5%. Loss on that, right?
Yes.
But the chance to gain 10%. So that's 1 to 2, you see?
Yeah.
So essentially...
That was my question to you, is where do we put the stop loss? We put it 10% below, or we bowl it out, or 20%, you know, or something. But
yeah,
yes,
but if we put a 10% low, we got a risk reward of 1-on-1. So essentially, we'll lose every trade we sort of make, and if we make it, you know, we're going to be losing exactly the same as the gaining. So you've got to have it, the risk reward, the reward in your favour, kind of thing, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
Now we're looking to get if it goes down to 950, we sell out. Okay, we lost 5%. We were looking to gain 10% though. So now though, I don't know what to do. I think we can move our stop loss up a bit to even limit that. Because if you look, we got up to 30 pence. No, we're up to over 40 pence. I mean, I would, you know, I think we'll be quite safe putting up to at least, you know, 965, maybe 970. The lowest it went down to is 973. And I don't think it will go back below that. So I think we could even raise up to 970. They were limiting our loss then even further, you see?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, okay.
Let's ask Steve. What do you think, Steve?
Well, if it's not going to go, there's no point moving it.
Well, that's positive, yes.
No, what I'm saying is that the low they've ever had, Steve, right, is 973, right? Now, our order now is, our limit order to sell is 950.
Oh, I got what you said.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. Because...
No, I did.
It's a strong support level there, right? At 970 odd. All right, so originally we limited our losses to 5%. But what I'm saying now, if it goes below that 970, it's probably going to go a lot further anyway. So why would we take the extra hit, that extra 2%, when we can only, you know, settle for a 3% loss rather than a 5% loss, you know?
But what if there's a random spike that just spikes there and comes back up again?
From this level, now, if you look at the chart, I don't know if it'll be a random spike down. When you see a big fall-off drop, you get spikes of that. But I don't know if we'll see a random spike from this level, you know? And if we do, that's...
But you can't... With something like an airline, there's always, unfortunately, the potential disaster where that can cause a spike down, can't it? Mm-hmm. You've got to be, you know, getting away from all the technicals, you've got to look at the fundamental real world and go, there are things like that could happen. Yeah. So you might get a spike down one day, and as Steve says, it could spike down. The problem there in that sort of scenario, it won't bounce straight back up, will it? So you're better off moving, like Justin says, moving your stop loss up so that in that scenario we don't lose any money then.
You boys know better, so yeah, we'll go with that.
Well, no, I don't think we know better, but it would make sense. I can see what Justin's saying. Now that it's moving up, we move our stop loss up, and then we don't ever lose any money. There's no risk of losing any money.
If you don't lose money, Steve, you're laughing, aren't you? I mean, all you need to do is gain then, essentially. But, if you limit your loss completely, then you're laughing. That's what we want to do. I mean, this is a good buy. We bought pretty much the low of that day. I was up and down, and that was a good buy.
We did. Pete didn't.
Yeah, no, but as soon as we bought it, it was up for the day, wasn't it? We bought it, and we were up for the day. We bought it, mid-afternoon, was it, something like that? And at the end of the afternoon, it was up, and we thought, wow. And the next day, it was up a little bit, and then Friday was up. So we've done well here. So, we don't want to waste time.
Can I just say, going back, because I've just remembered, obviously, it was about lunchtime, and you messaged us. No, and you said, it was a £10.04 or whatever, and I was like, no, let's just wait for a nice round number, £10 or £9.99. And you go, yeah, let's wait. And then 14 minutes later, you text, no, should we just go in? Should we just buy it? So what you were saying earlier about me saying that was actually inaccurate, because I've just
is that all you're saying? So I defend it. All I'm saying is I was watching this share prices. I don't know what's it for, you know, since that spiked down. In fact, I've always had EasyJet on my watch list. I've always had it on there, and I've never really bought. And I thought this opportunity doesn't come along very often because they have they're taking a bit of a knock of cancellations due to terrorism things in Egypt and France and all that. They've been knocking that. They are taking a knock in the fuel bill's gone up a little bit as well because of oil prices. But they have hedged, of course, and of course because of Brexit. And I think that's overly done. I mean, if you look, their share price dropped by about 50%. And they reckon they'll get a hit on earnings by about 10, 15, maybe 20%. But that's taking the share price down by 50%. So it always overreacts, you know? And so I'm thinking, this is potential gain here on a fundamental level anyway. Now, this is like I said, share prices technically overreact all the time. So hopefully we'll get here on the upside with a bit of a swing towards mid-level. So I'm thinking, if you're looking at that chart, you may see a swing towards mid-level, maybe a gap there. I don't know, even towards the second down leg, maybe 12 quid, hopefully, we'll go up to. But it's looking good at the moment. I mean, the RSI is turning up. It's at 40. It's nice to see between, above 50. The MACD is turning up, and we've got three sort of positive-ish days. So it may wobble a little bit, but hopefully it'll go higher.
And, of course, Steve did a little bit of trading as well.
Steve, again, got it wrong. Remember, Steve is classic buying 120 quid's worth of shares rather than the grand or something. And then he bought. How much did you buy, Steve, on EasyJet? You put the amount. I'm not. Is it true that?
In all fairness, I was.
Harry Hargreaves.
I'm in the right. I think Harry and Larry have got a really bad algorithm on their their buy limits, haven't they?
Why? I don't understand. Because I'm with Barclays stockbrokers. You're with Harry Hargreaves and Larry Lansdowne, and what they do is they don't give you the chance to put pounds in or shares. With Barclays, you can do that. So you can put, like, oh, I want to buy a grand or I want to buy 500 quid or whatever, But you have to work out the amount of shares. When it comes to the penny stocks, that can be a pain because you need to put 0.005 or whatever, and divide it by the amount and stuff to try and work out. So why don't they make it easy?
You're buying live dealing live, then you do that. You just put how much in pounds sterling or number of shares you want to buy, and off you go, boom, and it quotes and you accept or decline or whatever. But if you're putting in a limit order, yes, bizarrely, there isn't a...
Yeah, why is that? Can we get them on the podcast and ask them?
I know why it is. Because they're sitting there off the med there, smoking their cigars, sitting there in their tight, speedos and flip-flops and tans, and drinking a nice cocktail, singing, oh, Steve, what would you do now with you? So someone puts a limit order in, there's no much, they're buying, don't they? So we'll get more money off them, and we get more commission. See, we can, they can resell and seal, but we're not doing anything wrong by doing that. We'll do that likewise.
There's a guy over in Cardiff, Steve Martin, he gets it wrong every time.
Every time. Sometimes he buys too little, which is not good for his commission, but then he'll have to rebuy. So he's saying, buy cheap, buy twice. See, so we get more commission.
Passing I'm going to get a petition started and get them to change it.
Yeah. All right, Larry, pass us another pasty. Lovely.
Absolutely. But Steve then so bought a ton of shares instead of 100, and then but managed to then, because it spiked up, sold, made some money. Boom, sold out,
you
and got back to our level.
Literally,
when I found out, I bought £10,000 worth rather than £1,000 worth. And my heart literally sank when I was like, where's all my money gone? Ah, there it is.
In EasyJet.
And then they just got a notification down Harry and Larry on their boat. Oh, look, you've done it again, Steve. Oh, lovely. Ah, commission for us, lovely.
And, commission to sell what he's mistakenly bought.
I know, but there we are. And so there we are. So why didn't you hang on to Steve? You could have done well here. When it goes up to like 15 quid, you're thinking, oh.
Go.
Yeah, but you get 15 quid, you go, oh, I would win £5,000 there. or even 12 quid, £2,000. All right, so we'll do this obviously as many times as we can. We haven't succeeded here, of course, but by the way, just change. Did you see Coove's this week?
Yes.
Unbelievable. I sold half my holding in Coove at 60 pence because I saw on the chart, you know, support a resistance there. And I think that's going to stop there now. So I sold half, and then all of a sudden, it just as if. I sold off. They said, right, let's shoot it up. And the share price went up to 90-odd pence. And I thought, what the heck is going on? I knew it was going to come back, though, on that, you know, on the preliminary results, because they are trading ridiculously. I mean, at the moment, I watched their market cap at 90 pence. It was like 150 million market cap. And I was thinking, hang on, they're only turning over at 10 million, even if you get 10% profit, 10%, you know, margin.
And they're
there,
making a loss, aren't they?
Yeah, they're making 16 million, they lost. I mean,
which is up from 9 million last year or something.
Yeah, yeah, they are expanding. Yeah. There's a land grab out there. They want to be the market leader.
Yeah, yeah, of course. In India.
But even if they make a profit, like 10% operating, you know, making of 10 million turnover, a million, you know, that's a P of 150, you know, which is ridiculous anyway. And they're not, they're making a loss. So it's completely, of course it is, you know, overbought, and it's a very expensive stock. But we see the same with ASOS, you know. Like ASOS even now is like a P of a plus 60 odd, so it's a ridiculous. It's overvalued on its metrics. Very.
But I saw that Coos actually obviously released an RNS saying that there's no reason for such a crazy spike, which is it happens every time, doesn't it? From my limited experience of this, is that you see these crazy spikes, especially in the smaller stocks, and then the company has to come out and go, well, no, we haven't changed anything. There's nothing going on. There's no reason for this. It's just market forces or whatever momentum that causes these crazy spikes, which is fun if you're in it and you hold on and you sell at 90p or whatever, but it's a bit it's a bit more just a punt, really, isn't it? It's a bit more of a
casino.
But you know
what, on Friday though, right, they came down on that release initially about 20 odd, almost 30%, right down to 61. Yeah. I've seen that resistance at 60 pence, so it came up about 60 pence on there, 61 pence, and they went and then they bounced back, and they're back at 70 pence now. And even but I'm thinking, in a stock like this, that's where you should have jumped in. And even like another stock with strong momentum behind it, Barclay Energia, you know, like 3 day down days, that's when you get in. I mean, you know, you just put, like I said, you allocate an amount to it, so it may go down further, you don't know. But you allocate an amount, split it in three, and buy the first chunk there. And the third day down on a momentum stock like that, that's the only chance you get. And so you get in and think, well, if it comes down a bit more, I don't mind, I'll buy some more. But, like Coove is the same. You know, it won't hang around for a lot because it's got that, you know, momentum behind it now, that reputation as well. But, you know, the fact that they say, oh, the price, no reason why the price has moved. Well, apart from the fact that you are the top three guys at ASOS, which was the most, you know, the most successful stock of all time on AIM, and now you're trying to do the same with Coove, and you are seemingly getting some traction there in the market, then that's a good enough reason because people don't want to miss out on, you know, putting a grand in and getting £170,000 back. You know, that's why.
Yeah. So with that. With their release of their results, and obviously they're on the right sort of trajectory now, and they're sort of building, but it's going to cool off now, isn't it? Because there's going to be a long period now, probably, of no news, or you would think, wouldn't you, that the price will start to kind of come back down towards the 50-60p mark, which is...
Yeah.
I take your point that, yes, it could have been like on the Friday when it crashed down a bit, and you could grab a bit then, and it will go back up. But that's this short-term trading thing, isn't it? Whereas if you just wait.
Always wait. You always got time. No, I think it'll come down to that. If you look at that spike down on Friday, was you know almost exactly the spike up it initially had back in when was this? In June, on the 10th of June, which was about 62 pence. And so it'll come down around there, hopefully, 62, a bounce along 62 pence level. And so, you know, it's worth just putting a little in there and see where it goes, you know what I'm saying?
Is there any way of finding out volumes of shares bought at certain levels, if that makes sense?
So, well, like, you can see, you can look at trading. I mean, even on the Vox Markets app, you can see last trades. But
looking back, like you say, in June or whatever, or where, if you say a support level of, I don't know, 55p, something like that, is there a way of seeing the big investments around that mark? I.e., there have been some big sort of
I'm sure some platforms have, you know, you can download historical trade data, download the trades, yeah. But are you really going to go over that? And go, right, let's have a look at that. That's what just matters.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that it shows confidence. And if you've got big investors and they're not selling, and then you kind of go, well, if I'm in a level that they're at, that's I'm quite happy to be sit and wait for the next few years. If they're obviously comfortable with that level, I'm comfortable. Does that make sense?
If you're comfortable with that level, I'm comfortable with that level, actually. Yes.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm quite comfortable with that.
Good.
That level, Steve. So I see you had a nice bit of breakfast this morning, Steve.
Yes, lovely, thank you.
What did you have?
Had medallion bacons.
Oh, medallion. Are those ones the mayor wears around the neck?
That's right.
That's the one, yeah. You can wear them around your neck. And a bit like those sweets chains you get, but bacon instead, so you can eat it. That with no fat.
What is medallion? Is that without the bit hanging off the bit? Or what is that?
It's just solid meat, basically. There's no fat on it. It's good.
Solid meat.
Right.
Hash brown and some real sausages.
In what? In a roll?
In a brioche bun.
In a brioche bun? Mm. Oh, you're treating yourself, Stephen, you, eh?
Well.
I like the way he just tops it off with a little brioche bun. You should be on MasterChef, Steve. I've done medallion bacon with a hash brown and top pork sauces in a brioche bun. What sauce do you have in this, Steve?
Oh, both red and brown.
And red and brown sauce. Lovely. I can see the two guys there just tasting Steve's thing.
I always make a mistake when I'm doing bacon rolls, because I make myself a cup of tea when I'm making it, and then by the time the bacon and the roll's ready, I've finished that, so I'm making over, and I've overheated now with too much tea.
Oh, tell
you know that problem.
And we think the people in Syria have a problem. Steve's issue there is, you know, that it doesn't get worse than that, does it? Let's set up a fund to try and sort this out somehow.
Yeah, go fund me, Steve. I don't. What are we funding?
I don't know. Cold drinks for Steve.
Cold drinks for Steve. Steve, I've got an idea. Don't make the cup of tea until the bacon is almost ready.
That's a good idea. I should maybe have an orange juice or something.
Maybe a sip of water.
So, listen, are we going to move our stop losses up then to 9.70?
To what?
£9.70.
Right, I'm going in now. I'm going to do it.
Yes. Yes, it's a good idea.
Yes.
All right, then I won't. I'll just place more to buy at that level. That's part of me. Part of me thinking that, because I come up with a little strategy now where I allocate a certain amount of money, like I said, split into three, and buy the first chunk. And then I wait for the next bit to be filled if it comes down, because I expect it to come down. And that's what I want now. I think this is quite hard to just pick the bottom of a stock and hope that it'll rise, you know, within 5% give of a stock. But so far, it's going well.
It's also then how much time you allocate, isn't it? It's like, how long am I prepared to wait for this? That's a good question. How long are we prepared to wait for EasyJet to hit the magic 11 quid mark?
I'll hold on for the rest of my life.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask as well. So when it does hit over 10 or 11%, do we stay in there and see if it goes up any more and just then put a sell limit in at the 10? So if it does then drop below that, it sells? Or
at the 11?
We shouldn't limit our upside. So if it's a particularly strong day, you know, and it powers through £10, you know? It powers through £11. And, like, you know, it's like 11.25. Then, put a little stop order at whatever, you know, £11 or £11.5, depending on with the fees and stuff. But we should let it, you know, if it's going to go up to 14 quid, we shouldn't...
What in this scenario, then, it goes to 11%, we put our sell limit at 10%, and it just never moves from 11%?
£11.
Ever.
I've never known that, Steve. If you look at these share price, then it's probably never had a day where it's never moved. Because we're talking volumes of, you know, 4 or 5 million on a 10 quid stock. That's a lot of stock changing hands, you know?
What do you mean, Steve? So if it goes up past...
Well, no, so we pass that at 10.
It
goes to 11. It goes to 12, goes back to 11, goes to 12, goes to 11. It just keeps doing that for months and months. At what point do we go, should we just sell it at that price?
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, if it's there for months, then yeah. But I mean, okay. I don't know if it'll do that.
Is it a case if another stock comes along which has got big potential, we'll sell out and jump into that one?
Good point, Steve. Yes, yeah. Good point.
There from a colleague.
This is why it's interesting, you see, Steve. And I say interesting. Obviously, it's very subjective. People listening right now may think, wow, this is boring. God, how have I got to 20-odd minutes in this podcast? I'm still listening. It just shows you what
over £9.99 or £10.
Just shows you what a sad life I've got. Listen, dedicating my life to this nonsense. Anyway, listen. I always like to try and give a stock you should have a look at. There's a company called Bagheer Group. It was someone flagged it up to me on Twitter, right? And the ticker, you know, is appropriate or not? It's called a bagger. So it could be a 10-bagger, it could be a 5-bagger, you never know. B-A-G-R. Right now, it supplies tailored services, like suits and stuff, to, you know, company labels, like Austin Reed, a bit like this, you know, so they're a tailoring service.
Who've gone out of business?
No, Austin Reed, no, I think the Austin, no, I think there's a certain brand, haven't they? It's like Austin Reed, Wallens, I don't know if they have, but yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe they have gone out of business, have they? Oh, that's probably why, yes. No, because the reason why, their profit went down, or the turnover went down last year. And that's when, anyway, that was just an example.
Anyways, it's a good story so far.
Yeah, that's one of the examples of the brands, one of the brands you know. What I'm saying is they make the garments to these people's specifications, and these brands put their own labels on them, you know, anyway, the turnover is $75 million, right? This is a 2.3 market cap company, right? That's nuts, isn't it? The revenue. They did make a loss last year. They're a big loan, $21 million. A dollar loan, right? So it shows you this is quite scary because they're a market cap of 2.3. They've just done a deal with the banks, right? A cash and share deal to clear off that debt completely. And then now they've restructured the big business. They'll still be turning over on a 70 million. But yet, the actual thing hasn't gone through yet, this debt deal. But once it does, they'll have no debt. They'll be turning over, like I said, you know, 70-odd million. And they're a market cap of almost 3 million market cap. I'm thinking, watch this, because there are factories in three parts of the world, and you know, I don't think it's a business world. When you look at a company like this, Silicon Valley, you can see why they were hit down, you know, with that debt. Without that debt, you think, hang on a sec. So check them out, Bagger, B-A-G-R, Baggy Group, and read
through
it.
They had quite a day on Tuesday, didn't they? I'm just looking at their chart.
That's when they announced that. And then I didn't know about that. It came back. Someone flagged it to me there. And I bought some. I thought, oh, I'll have some of that. Only a little bit, you know. And as normal, I put a bit in lower, just in case they go to lower. Three chunks. So, I fully expect them to do quite well there. So,
what sort of price did you get there, Just?
What did I get? I got sort of like...
10 pence.
Let's have a look. What are they at the moment? I got five pound, yeah. Okay. Let me look. I'm up in them, but that way. But it's one of those things. They're down ridiculous amount. One of the lovely things you do, down 14% on the day or 17%. I bought them, and they end up flat on the day. And so I thought that's nice. And so it was one of those lucky buys. And someone flagged that to me a couple of days ago. I wouldn't have bought it anyway because it spiked, you know. But but the fact that it went up and then come back, you know. Because that's a lot of things. People jump in these stocks straight away. I'm 13% up already. So that's nice, isn't it? In a day or so. In a day, yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
So, but worth checking out, because I think if this happens, let's clear this debt. Like they say, you know, that's a company there with a huge turnover. They are making an operational profit, I think, but it's just they've got a lot of expenses and cost of sales are quite high. And I think that's a lot to do with paying debt back. So, you know, this should see a re-rate in the company, really. Because they've got revenue. Anyway, listen, that's it for the weekend podcast, isn't it? Pretty much, you know.
Yeah,
if people are still listening, thank you very much. And
sticking with us.
Yeah, just text the word or Twitter the word brioche. And we'll see if, or medallion, or anyone, or medallion in brioche, or Steve, or text... or tweet anything to anyone. To your friend. Just tweet your friend, Brioche.
And again, we've got that trending.
I'll get the trending, yeah. Just tweet Brioche, and that's it. marvellous. Thank you very much, guys. Have a nice weekend.
Marvellous. You too.
Bye-bye, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You forget that bit of it, Steve. You forget the protocol of saying bye-bye to people.
What's that?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.